It is so good to be home and to be with you this morning and to know that God is in our midst. And it's a privilege for me this morning to open the Bible and to share with you some thoughts that I believe are imperative for our living the life of faith, knowing what it is God's calling us to that we might obey. And I got to tell you, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor, and don't presume too much in that, not just because I'll tell you the story if you want to hear it, but it was, well, I won't go into that. But I grew up in church, and that meant that part of my growing up, I spent a lot of time just scribbling during church. I drew, and I, you know, I'd have a piece of paper and or whatever it was available, and I was drawing and scribbling. In fact, my ambition when I got out of high school, I wanted to be a high school art teacher. That was my ambition. I think it all kind of came back to what I did in services just like this with a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper. That was kind of where I got my start. So I look over at Caitlin this morning, and I see her with a piece of paper, but you know what? I'm thinking that she's going to take notes this morning. That's good. I'm really, sincerely, I'm not just saying that. I'm not just putting positive peer pressure on her over here. If you're just drawing pictures, I'll understand that because I've been there. I've done that. But I just encourage you this morning to let whatever it is that God might speak to us together, to let that register. If you got to take notes or do something here or whatever you got to do, just let this take root in your life. It's a privilege for me this morning, and I don't set the Bible down because I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to set it down because I need some room here, and the passages of Scripture that we're going to read, I have on a sheet of paper here. But I invite you to have a Bible open. If you have a Bible with you this morning, that's a good way to be learning, to just read along as we read. It's on the overhead, and I want the Word of God to find a place to take root in our lives here this morning. Reading from Psalm 119, the first 8 verses, and then before we say anything else, we'll read from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I want to talk to you this morning about guarding your heart. About guarding your heart. Psalm 119, verse 1 and following. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And then from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have a few minutes here, time that you've given us, and my heart's desire is to be a good steward of this gift. I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and fluently and accurately the message that is your word for this congregation. You know where we've come from. You know where we are. You know where we're going to be going. And God, you know what we need from your word, from you this morning. So God, speak to each of us. Capture our attention. Capture our affection and our allegiance, I pray. And that for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you live in Garrison or you've been reading the paper, you're aware that security is becoming an issue in our community. I've marveled a little bit recently that we've had door-to-door security system salesmen. They've been going door-to-door, and perhaps you had somebody at your doorstep. I was intrigued with the newspaper article that told that two rival salesmen actually got into fisticuffs down at the Cenex store the other day, and the authorities had to be called because they're trying to sell security systems, and apparently there's a bit of heated competition because the need is so great in Garrison. Security is an issue. Marla and I picked up a few things at Sam's Club yesterday, and we met Linda. She has relatives here in Garrison, and she was just talking about the security issues there in Bismarck. The town is growing a bit, and they're locking their houses where they didn't used to lock their houses. She said that the employer at Sam's Club told the employees, he said, lock your cars in the parking lot. Don't leave your cars unlocked, because security is becoming an issue in a way that it wasn't before. And you and I, living here in Central North Dakota, we understand that security is becoming more of an issue than it has been. If I were to tell you that pickpockets are in the area and you need to be on your guard, your attention and to these issues would be raised, but only after you checked your hip and said, make sure you had your wallet and maybe checked your, you know, because when security is an issue, we are on guard, aren't we? Our guard is raised, and we become more attentive to things that maybe we should be on guard about all the time, but we hear a word, we hear a report, something comes to mind, our attention is drawn to the real need, and suddenly we heed the warning of a danger. I'm not here this morning to warn you about your watch or valuables in your home. Rather, my warning comes from the Word of God to guard your heart. The heart, as you look at Scripture, it's commonly, that term commonly stands for our mind, but it can go beyond that to represent the seat of our emotions, our will, our whole innermost being. The part of us that remains the same regardless of what happens to us in other areas of our lives. It's the part of us of who we really are. It's our heart. It's who you are. It's who I am. You can even have a heart transplant I won't go into the discussion, but I believe you still got the same heart. You're still you. Oh man, I can chase that one down, couldn't we? What's happened to you, Tom? Have you had a heart transplant? No. It's who we really are. It's our innermost person. It's the real you that remains. It's you. And God tells us that we need to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it come or spring the issues of life. It's interesting that hearts can be stolen. The Old Testament story is told of Absalom, David's son, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 6. You see, Absalom was not only a rebellious son against his father David, but he was seeking to capture the allegiance of the people that his dad ruled over. And the Bible, in this particular passage, tells that when people of the territory would come to visit with David, who was the king, Absalom's father, that Absalom took up position at the gates of the city. And when men would come to get counsel and to share their needs with David, that Absalom would intercept them and basically call them aside and tell them about what kind of king he would be if he was in charge. And he would, I know we're in a political season, so you understand. You understand how that plays out. If I were king, you know, and that's the way it went. And the Bible says that Absalom was so convincing
as he waited at the gate and intercepted those that were on their way to see his father, that he absolutely, the phrase is used, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Their attention, their affections, their allegiances began to transfer from David to Absalom, because Absalom had captured their hearts. I would tell you this morning that Satan is out to steal your heart from God. You may have come to church this morning and you're in love with the Lord and he has captured your affection. Your allegiance is to God, the God of the Bible. But I want you to know that Satan is out to capture, to steal your heart. He truly is. I got to tell you, I love my wife. And I hope those of you who know me know that. I got to tell you, we just celebrated 39 years of marriage. Is that so cool or what? But I've got a little issue with modern day greeting cards that talk about, I love you with all my heart. There's no one else in all the world but you. Now, I understand secular romanticism. But I want you to know that my wife is not to be the one who has captured my heart completely. Do you understand? That there's no place in this life for me to say, it's you and you alone. As far as women in this world, absolutely. But as far as my heart, she is not the one who is ordained of God to capture my heart. It's God. And anything that distracts me from that first priority, something's flawed in it. But if I love God with all my heart, I'm going to be the best man that she could ever imagine to have for a husband. So I'm going to make that a teachable moment. Marla needs me to love God more than I love her. And I need Marla to love God more than she loves me. Amen? My heart belongs to God. And I want her heart to belong to God. Anytime that she says, I love you with all my heart, I go, no, 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 no. Love God. And then, if you love him, I'm going to just rest in your love for me. If that's all you hear this morning, I could pray a dismissal prayer and send you home, and you've heard something worth being here for. People in your life need you to love God more than you love them. God is to be the God of your life and to capture your heart. And why does Jesus say, love God with all your heart? Why does he say that? Because that's our greatest need in our relationship with him and in our relationship to one another. We need to be a people who love God first and foremost with all of our heart. And then let the rest of it just kind of fall out and find its place. It's like spiritual Boggle. Have you ever played Boggle? Those little dice with letters on them, and you shake them around and they fall into place and you find words. When we get this thing straight with loving God with all of our heart, just shake life good and the rest of it will find its proper place. Amen. Get the first things first and the rest of it will work out. Okay. I know you need to keep with the text. Let's go. We are called this morning, and God would speak to you about an ever-present danger. And he says to us that we are called to be on guard. Christians speak of giving their hearts to the Lord or of asking Christ into their heart. And that's proper imagery. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man will ask me to come in, I will open the door, I'll come in. And so the imagery of Christ coming into our hearts is proper, biblically sound imagery. It's there that we understand that our heart represents the place of our allegiance, the place of our affection, who we really are. And Proverbs says that the issues of life spring out of the heart. Who we really are. Given to Christ. Our allegiances, our affections. who I am, asking Christ to come up, come in and to take up a place of kingship, of lordship in my life. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. I want to just help you to remember this verse. This is such a sweet little... I'm not a numbers guy, really, but digital stuff is... A digital, you know, you look at a watch and it says 12:34. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just there. I'm sorry. That's a whole lot different to me than looking at my watch and the minute hand is a little bit past the 6. So I want you to remember this verse. It's Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? This is Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. I want you to know this verse. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and they are, forgive me if this is politically incorrect, but he just flat out nails it. He says, you Pharisees are evil. You're wicked men. Your hearts are not after God. In fact, you're hypocritical. And if there's anything that Jesus identifies as wickedness, it's hypocrisy. And he says, you wicked hypocrites, he says, you're evil. And how can anything, any man with an evil heart speak good? He says, it does not happen because it's the truth that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, you know. How are we going to do that? If you know a man's heart, you know him. Amen. And if you begin to see and hear and get acquainted with an individual, the things that are there have their root in a much deeper place than here or here. It's here. It's in the heart that life springs from. And the book of Proverbs allows us to understand who we really are is an issue, a matter of the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, you know the story of David and God's appointing Samuel to go and anoint David to be the king of Israel. And what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. It's just so cool because things are going on. Saul is falling away from God and David is in the wings and there's this plan here. But Samuel says and speaks this insightful passage. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So I'm just telling you this. God knows you this morning. God's not just listening for what you say. God's not just watching to see what you do. God's not just observing your life and filling out a critique sheet on you. The Bible says that God looks on the heart. He knows you for who you really are. And can I just chase a rabbit here? Would anybody give me permission to chase a rabbit? One of you, that's enough. Okay. If one of you will give me permission, the rest of you, please follow along. I grew up, as I said, in the church. And I would read this verse as a young boy and then as a teenager, and it would I had heard the lesson in Sunday school and I knew the fact that while my mom and my dad and my Sunday school teacher or other people around me that I cared about were looking on the outside, that God was looking on the heart. And you know what that did to me some days? I went, oh man. Oh man. Because I knew how to carry on the pretense most of the time. There were a lot of instances where I could at least put up a good appearance, put up the front, get the job done so those who are just looking on the outside would say, isn't that Don a fine boy? And then somebody would preach, but God's looking on the heart, and I go, oh, no! Ah. And more than just being in angst over it, it was a realization that he really knew my heart. He knew what was going on inside of me. And I was ashamed before God. I absolutely was ashamed before God because God was looking on my heart. And I lived with that for years. I got to tell you, I lived with that for years. And it was a burden to me for years because I'd hear somebody preach that again, and I'm going, man, because I wanted to appear better than I really was. But then something changed in my college years. And I think I finally got it. By the grace of God, I think I finally got it. Because something had changed in my own heart. And my heart was after God in a way that it hadn't been during high school. I wanted to please God. There was something that was changing within me that my heart was after God. But you know what? Even when there was a change of heart, there wasn't a perfection in my life. I still fell short. I still messed up. I still sinned against God. I still did the wrong thing. I was still a selfish pig. I was still vulgar, and it was breaking my heart. And then this verse began to minister to me. And rather than bringing condemnation, it was God saying to me, I know everybody else can see what you're doing, and I've seen it too, Don. I see. But all they can see is the outside. And Don, I know your heart. I know your heart, Don, and I know this isn't what you wanted. This isn't what you desire. This isn't what you've been pursuing. And I know your heart's broken, that's a good thing, Don, that your heart's broken. But I want you to know, Don, that I've been looking at your heart in all of this. So there's great comfort in this. But it is a matter of the heart, and we must recognize that when our hearts are after God, this is a verse of comfort. This is a verse that should cause us to rejoice, even when our hearts are broken over our own imperfection. God knows that when our hearts are after Him, and He's still rejoicing over us. He hasn't walked away from us. He hasn't forsaken us, even though we would just, if we could, we would just kind of take off this robe of flesh and say, enough of this. God says, we're not giving up on you, bud. Everybody else is going, what has happened to Don? Did you hear what he said? Did you see what he did? And God's saying, isn't that Don? Some boy. Because he's looking at places that other people don't see. And he's doing the same for you. When your heart is after God, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed, whatever else it might be. You wish you were different. But God's saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. Oh, I am so in love with you. God looks on the heart. And that's why we need to guard it. Oh, yeah, we're called to I believe we are called to a righteous, Christ-like life.
where the outside stuff falls into conformity with the teachings and person of Jesus Christ. It's not just on the outside stuff. The outside needs to follow along with the heart, but the issue is a heart issue to begin with. At its deepest level, that's where you and I live a life of faith and a life of obedient love to God. That's why we've got to guard the heart. I just want to share this with you. I believe that the heart level is where God communicates with us. Amen. I think it's there that God is communicating with you today. It's wonderful to have good hearing and to be able to hear the message here, but thanks be to God that it's at a deeper level, a level that is where you and I are at, who we really are, that God communicates with us today. God is doing more than simply informing us today. We hear with our ears, but the message doesn't stop between our ears. I enjoy preaching and teaching. To share the Bible is just, for you to go from the service this morning and say, man, I never heard that before, or I never thought of it that way before. Wasn't that something that such and such means this and that? That was so good as far as information. But God wants to do more than inform you today. God wants to do more than just make you spiritually smart, or maybe I better reach out, to make you biblically smart. He wants to make you spiritually rich. He wants to do more than just inform you. He wants to inspire you. He wants to reach from here to here, to get down to your heart, to who you really are, to the essence of you at the soul and heart level of your life, and bring something of the Word of God through the head where you understand it, yes, but it reaches the place of inspiration. Life-giving influence in you. Thus the warning to guard our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul warned, watch, stand fast in the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, again a warning, but you be watchful in all things. The reason being, go back a couple of verses there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Pursuing as a priority the things of our own hearts, our own desires, our own desires, our lives will follow what we give our hearts to. And we must be on guard that we love God with all our heart. The warning is about real danger. We know a couple, while we were pastoring in Grand Forks, they were enlisted in the U.S. Air Force, and they would go down to the Southeast for vacation. And Wayne and Wendy came back one time telling us that they had gone paddle boating among the alligators. I'm going, I don't think so. Big paddlefish are scary enough for me. Alligators? I don't think so. God warns us this morning that the devil is out to captivate our hearts, to steal our hearts from God. And we need to be careful where we go, what we do, what we give ear to, what we are party to, that would in any way diminish our love for God and our allegiance to Him. It's interesting that as Paul is talking about being on guard, The letter is written to Christians, people who want to be identified with Christ, and yet were failing to guard their hearts, their allegiance, their affections, giving Christ first place. We often talk about having healthy hearts as far as just physically healthy hearts. And I might say, well, what? How's your heart? You know, if I were to walk into the restaurant today and say, taking a survey today, here to do a little heart check. How's your heart? Somebody might say, well, I've just been to the doctor recently and my heart's checking out well, fine. Somebody might come back and say, well, I had heart surgery a few months ago, but just went to see the doctor and things are just, man, it's a good report. My heart's doing well. But this morning, the greater heart issue is not this physical muscle that pumps blood and keeps you physically alive. The issue is your allegiance and your affection and who you really are in life's priorities. Remember this. The heart is where the issues of life spring from. It's where God communicates with us. What's this have to do with priorities? In Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think this morning God says to us, it's not just enough to have me in your life. It's not just enough to ask Jesus into your heart. When it gets down to only one thing at the top of your list of priorities, the one person or the one thing that matters most, who or what is it? We are called to guard our hearts that Jesus Christ would be the love of our lives. Amen? That our allegiance would belong to Him. That He truly would be Lord of our lives. There's an old hymn, and if anybody ever hear the old hymn, in fact, it wasn't much of a hymn as far as a hymn, it was almost rambunctious for its day. Royal Telephone, remember that old song? It was an old song, and they used the allegory of trying to talk to God over a telephone line, a royal telephone, that whenever there was a need or a burden or a care, that you know, you just pick up the royal telephone and call heaven, talk to God. Novel idea, just, you know. But what about when God tries to call you? It's one thing for us to try to call God. You know how terrible I am with my cell phone. I've got one, but I don't like it. I might have it with me somewhere. But if you want to reach me by my cell phone, you either hope it's one of those instances that I have it on with me, or that I'm with Marla so you can call her number. That's just the way it works. And you might say, I've been trying to call you, and has God had to say lately, I've been trying to call you? Just been trying to reach your heart. Not just to get your attention, to get your attention, but to reach your heart. To talk to you about my love for you, to talk to you about my will for you, to talk to you about the plans that I have for you, to talk to you about the relationship and the communion that I long for us to enjoy. I've been trying to reach you, and God says to us this morning, like you may say to me, Pastor Don, would you just carry your cell phone? Would you just make sure the battery is charged up and it's turned on and that you've got it within arm's reach? Don't be depending on a loved one to make a connection. Don't be just depending on the last time we talked 3 or 4 days ago. But keep the lines of communication up so that I can reach your heart. Guard your heart. It's the very place that God is wanting to communicate with you and me. And out of the issues, out of the heart, the issues of life spring. I'm telling you, when we get our hearts right with God and the lines of communication are up, the rest of it is just the rest of it. It'll find its right place. But we are called this morning to guard our hearts. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, thank you that you know our hearts today. And you love us so much that that's where you want to touch base with us. Not just in our minds, not just in tangible, temporary blessings that come and may go. But you want to do something deep and intimate and passionate within us, where we come to know you and come to know your love for us, and in that come to love you, come to surrender our lives, to acknowledge you for who you are, and to give you your rightful place in our hearts. We would guard our hearts this morning in response to this warning. May we be a people whose hearts are fully dedicated, whose love is full and complete, loving you with all of our hearts. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the listening ears of this congregation. Bless us now that we would be doers of the word as well as hearers. We pray that even this afternoon that we will be reminded and that we would reflect and give ourselves to you and to a heart fully in love with you, fully aligned with you. In Christ's name we pray. Go with us now as we are dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Every time I say that, I'm thinking, I know that he's doing that. I know that he's doing that. It's just a matter of God continuing to do what he's already doing. Let's give ourselves to that, okay? God bless you. God continue to bless you. You are dismissed.